Welcome to episode 540 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. When we think of Christmas, joy and peace and celebration come to mind. And even when we think of that first Christmas, we remember angels singing and shepherds praising and wise men worshiping. We think of good tidings, glory to God in the highest, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And even my eyes have seen your salvation. But not everyone was happy on that first Christmas. There is at least one villain in our story. There is at least one person who tried to stop the celebration and who felt threatened by the birth of this baby. Yes, I'm talking about Herod. The name Herod comes up again and again in the New Testament from Matthew 2 to Acts 26. A casual reader might think that Herod had tremendous longevity as a ruler. However, Herod is the family name of a ruling dynasty in Palestine. There are four different Herods in the New Testament, as well as Herod Philip II, who is referred to as Philip the Tetrarch in the New Testament. Herod I came to be known as Herod the Great, and was also called King of the Jews. He ruled from 37 or 36 BC to 4 BC. He's mentioned in the New Testament in Matthew 2. Magi, from the east, came to Jerusalem looking for the one who had been born King of the Jews. Of course, this would get Herod's attention, as this was his title. Herod called the scribes and determined that according to prophecy, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. As the Magi left for Bethlehem to find the Messiah, Herod asked them to report back to him with the location of the newborn king, so, as he says in Matthew 2 verse 8, that I too may go and worship him. Of course, Herod had no such intentions. The Magi find Jesus and worship him, presenting their gifts to him, but they are warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod. When Herod realizes that the Magi have not reported back to him, he is furious and calls for the slaughter of all the boys up to 2 years old in Bethlehem and the surrounding area, hoping to end the life of any potential rival. God warns Joseph that he needs to flee to Egypt with Jesus and Mary. Jesus is not harmed. However, there is a massacre, described as the slaughter of the innocents, in and around Bethlehem. Such is Herod the Great's biblical legacy. Herod the Great was the son of a high-ranking official in the Hasmonean dynasty, which was ruling Palestine as an independent kingdom. He was an Edomian or Edomite, a descendant of Esau, but there had been intermarriage between Jews and Edomites, and Herod politically and publicly identified himself as a Jew. In 41 BC, Herod the Great was named governor of Galilee. However, the Jewish Hasmonean dynasty was in conflict with Rome, and Herod supported Rome in the conflict. He was given the title King of the Jews by the Roman Senate, and then charged with the responsibility of conquering Judea so that he could rule as a client king. After about 3 years of fighting, Herod was victorious in 37 or 36 BC. As King of Judea, Herod the Great's primary directive was to carry out the wishes of Rome. As always, Rome wanted to maintain peace and foster goodwill among the local inhabitants who had been conquered. If that didn't work, Rome would eventually respond with overwhelming force. Herod tried to foster goodwill by enacting policies that helped bring about economic prosperity and building public works, including the incredible artificial port city of Caesarea, the fortress of Masada, and fortifications around Jerusalem. Herod also built a magnificent palace for himself atop a man-made mountain. The palace was called the Herodium. In order to gain favor with the Jews, Herod greatly enlarged and updated the temple in Jerusalem to a size and magnificence it had never enjoyed before, not even under Solomon. This renovated structure became known as Herod's Temple. He also married Mariamne, a Hasmonean princess, and appointed her brother as high priest. Despite his brilliant and ambitious building projects, Herod the Great had a dark side that showed itself in the events of Matthew 2, and in other historical events. He always feared potential rivals. He had his wife's brother, Aristobulus, the high priest, drowned in the swimming pool in his palace. He put to death 46 members of the Sanhedrin. He killed his mother-in-law. He also had his wife, Mariamne, murdered along with two of their sons, as he considered them potential rivals with legitimate claims to the throne. Herod had 10 wives in all, and many other children. Augustus Caesar is reported to have said, "It is better to be Herod's dog than one of his children." When placed in this context, the incident in Matthew 2 does not seem out of character. In 4 BC, after a long and excruciating illness, Herod the Great died. This news was reported to Joseph by an angel of the Lord in a dream in Matthew 2 verse 19, so Joseph knew it was safe to return to Israel with Jesus from their hideout in Egypt. Of course, our dating system will cause some consternation. We know that Herod died in 4 BC, which means that Jesus must have been born before 4 BC. It is normally assumed that Jesus was born perhaps in AD 1, but these dates were assigned at least 9 centuries later, and there were some errors in the calculations. So Jesus was born sometime before 4 BC, and we do not know how much time passed between Joseph's taking his family to safety in Egypt and Herod's death. Upon Herod the Great's death, his sons were appointed rulers in his place. Archelaus was appointed ethnarch, ruler of an ethnic group, but not a king, of Samaria, Judea, and Idumea. He is mentioned once in scripture. When Joseph heard that Archelaus was ruling in Judea in place of his father Herod, Joseph took his family to Nazareth in Galilee. Herod the Great was an ambitious and ruthless ruler who set himself up in opposition to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Throughout history and the scriptural record, we see the Herod family following in the footsteps of their father in opposing Christ. Herod opposed Jesus because he saw the Son of God as a threat. It seems odd to think of Jesus as a threat. He's a good shepherd, the Prince of Peace, the balm in Gilead, the way, the truth, and the life. But indeed, Herod felt so threatened that he ordered the killing of thousands of children in his effort to kill the Christ child. A similar fear moved many of the religious authorities to plot to trap and eventually kill Jesus. He was a threat to them too. Peter felt threatened as well, but responded in a different way. When he realized who Jesus was, even if still incompletely, he responded, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus continues to be a threat today. He's a threat because of who he claims to be, God. If he is God, we must pay attention to what he says and more. If he is God, we should worship and obey him in all things. This claim of Jesus challenges, indeed threatens, everyone. This is because all of us are wounded by sin, and to some extent or another, all wish to act like a God. We all want to have things our way. It seems a lot easier than obedience. In some sense, Jesus came to be a threat. He says so when he utters these shocking words in Matthew 10, verse 35. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus should threaten us, and if he does not, then we have not taken him seriously. He should threaten our pride and the many ways we seek to serve ourselves, to compromise the truth, to play God. In other words, when Jesus says right out of the gate, "The kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel," he's laying down a challenge that offers no middle ground. We can respond to the threat by running away, trying to eliminate or silence Jesus, or opening ourselves up to him in humility and allowing him to get to work on us with his mercy. What will it be? Father, we recognize that Jesus was a threat to Herod and many of the religious authorities, and that he remains a threat today. Help us to respond to him with faith, not fear, with humility, not pride. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.